Bhagavad Gita.
Now, before we go into the text, we'll have a few outlines. The Bhagavad Gita is supposed to have 700 shlokas divided into 18 chapters. We told about this in the first class also. And each chapter is called a particular yoga. Each chapter is called a particular yoga, indicating a particular subject or a topic covered in that chapter. So each yoga, karma yoga. Karma yoga means that chapter is dealing with action, karma. And there is jnana yoga, same. So 18 topics, 18 yogas. So 18 chapters, 18 topics, 18 yogas are discussed. And the first chapter has 47 shlokas. And it is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Arjuna Vishada means grief. So the topic of the first chapter is the grief of Arjuna. We are starting with grief. The grief of Arjuna. So that is Arjunasya Vishadaha. Arjuna Vishadaha. The grief of Arjuna. Now we may be wondering, why should we start? I have come to Bhagavad Gita. So I thought it is going to give me Moksha Shastram, all that thing. Now you are starting with the grief of Arjuna. Why should I worry about the grief of Arjuna? When you want to study Gita, Jnana, Karma, Bhakti, these are the things we normally think of. Why should we worry about the grief of Arjuna? And we have to then understand what is the purpose of knowing the grief of Arjuna. Because Gita or Upanishad is primarily known as what? Moksha Shastra. We already told that earlier. It is a Moksha Shastra called Brahma Vidya. Knowledge of the Brahman, knowledge of the Self. So the Brahma Vidya and all these things, you know, they are all maybe secondary names, but primarily Gita is known as Moksha Shastra. That is how, so you are supposed to get the liberation, the Shastram, which will tell you how to get liberation, how to get freedom from the samsara, how to get moksha. So that is freedom from the sorrow is supposed to be liberation. And sorrow is what? Samsara, all types of problems, anger, detachment, whatever you have in life, depression, all those things, slavery, the sense of dissatisfaction, they're all problems. Everybody has all this. There is nobody who doesn't have any of these things. So all these put together, problems put together, there is one word that can be called samsara or sorrow. They all put together make me not happy. Because I cannot be happy with all these problems. So the technical name for all these together is called samsara in Vedanta. It is not physical or external problems, but the psychological problem. These are all problems, psychological problems, many of them. And sorrow is considered to be the main representative. It includes in the list kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, all those various things, they all come under the sorrow only. So when we say moksha shastram, we mean that shastra which will liberate a person from what? From this samsara. So that is what we call it moksha shastra. Because the sorrow is what we are having in life. So liberation from the sorrow, samsara. So moksha shastra is what? The one that will liberate a person from samsara. So samsarat mokshana shastram is moksha shastra. That is what we are talking about. So every human being, he goes through all his activities trying to do what? To get out of the samsara. Whatever we are trying to do, we think it is going to give us happiness. It is going to relieve us from grief. That's what we all think. Knowingly or unknowingly, we all try to do that only to gain happiness or satisfaction, whatever it is, from any dukkha. So it is an instinctive, it is a very fundamental universal urge for anything, including animals. It is a universal urge for any of them to get out of sorrow. Animals, plants, humans, all of them struggle to do that. Get out of the samsara only with a sense of limitation, because samsara gives a sense of limitation. So even the search for reality, that becomes secondary, because you are already so much in grief, you want to now get a band-aid to fix that grief only right now, so you don't want to go for really reality. So reality, we think the truth is the fundamental substratum of the entire world, that's what we say all the time. That is the ultimate truth, that is the fundamental substratum of the entire universe. We don't want that truth, we don't want that reality at all, because I have so many of these problems, I have to take care of them only. Now reality, truth and all, fine, they are all good for discussion, good for philosophy class, but I am not interested in them. That's what everybody says. So according to our scriptures, self-knowledge alone happens to be the means of getting out of all these samsara. So according to Vedanta, that alone says that reality, self-knowledge alone is the only means of getting out of the samsara. So self-knowledge by itself is not valuable to us. to start with. But if it is prescribed as a means to get out of problems, then I want to sit erect and listen. If somebody comes and tells in the Gita class, I am going to talk about now the ultimate reality, truth, self-knowledge, nobody is interested. But if you tell that person, you have all these problems in life, I have got a solution for you. And that solution is what is coming out of this Gita. Then, oh, is there something to look at? Let me at least listen to some portion of it. That is how we immediately come to that. So, here, all this the primary goal of all these things is freedom from samsara. And so, Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads, whatever it is, that should be viewed as moksha shastra, freedom from samsara, freedom from grief, freedom from dukkha. So, when a person asks, what does Gita teach? Do not say that it teaches ultimate reality. It teaches about Brahman. It teaches about self-knowledge. No need for any of them. Just to only tell, it tells me how to get out of my dukkham, my grief, my samsara. That's all we should say. So, Gita is moksha shastram, freedom from sorrow or samsara. Now, if I want to get out of samsara, first what should I know? If I want to get out of samsara, what should I know first? I should first know that I am in samsara. First requirement. I should know I am in samsara first. I have the problem of raga. I have the problem of dvesha, kama, krodha. I have all these problems. I should recognize that. I should understand, yes, these are problems I have. I should be able to acknowledge that. Then only I will consciously try to get out of those problems. So until and unless I realize these as problems to me, this is sorrow to me, this is samsara to me, I will not take any effort to get out of them. But most of us have what is known as the samsara vairagya, the smasana vairagya. This we have heard of this many times. Smasana vairagya, somebody is dead. So they are now taking him to the cremation ground or whatever it is to bury or to burn, whatever. They will, if you go to Kashi, they will be carrying Ram Nam Satyahai, Ram Nam Satyahai. Everybody will say, so they, Ram Nam alone is truth. All other things are ephemeral. Somebody's life will end. You know, he is just born, he has to die, no choice. But only Ram Nam alone stands. All this, so much Vedanta will all go. They will be all reciting all the way. Go burn him. The moment burn and take bath, come out. Immediately all problems come. Immediately neighbor's problem comes. Oh, this neighbor, you know, this guy put all these things in my yard. Everything comes to the mind, you forget all that vairagyam is up to the smashana, up to that burial ground or cremation ground, the vairagyam was there. The moment that is done, people forget that. This is smashana vairagyam, this is what normally, same thing like Purana vairagyam also. You listen to some discourse, somebody is talking about some Purana, Harishchandra Purana, some Purana. So when you are listening to that, oh look at that, see life is all anityam, everything is all ephemeral, we should be also strive for something new. That's what immediately people will think during that time, the moment you get out, that's it. Somebody crosses you in the car where he doesn't have the right of way, that's it. Immediately he gets all this Lalita Sahasranama, Vishnu Sahasranama, whatever you can think of goes to him. All this highway rage. Immediately we'll get turned off. So the problem of grief is always there. It is an intense problem that people all have. They have to first recognize that I have that problem. Everybody should recognize that problem. If this problem is not manifest all the time because of our distractions, for example, you watch a movie. The movie is all comedy movie is there. So, if you are watching that. So, during the time when you are watching, you forget that. But, for example, the movie itself, the central theme of a movie is some grief only, maybe the central theme of the movie. That is, the underlying grief is there. But there may be some scenes which may be comic. So, at that time, you forget the grief. And look at the comic portion. But grief is there still underlying. So once the comic portion is over, you come back to grief only. So this is what happens when you, normally when you people, you know, to forget this thing, so let me go for some entertainment. When the entertainment is there, fine, at that time, no problem. But underlying grief, that continues. You have not found a solution for that. All other things are only quick fixes for this and that. That's what we do. So even after that samsara darshanam now, so first we have to have samsara darshana. Recognize that I am in samsara, I am in grief. It is like diagnosing the disease. Samsara darshana is diagnosing the disease. Cure is not got yet. Diagnosing the disease. Then they have to get rid of it. That is the second step. First to recognize you are in samsara, then to get rid of it. It is like, for example, cancer or something. You know, you may not go to the doctor. There is some pain or something. You don't want to go to the doctor because you want to postpone it. And once it is diagnosed that somebody has a cancer, the doctor, the moment he tells the person, immediately some people might even pass out. He's gone. He cannot even listen to this word cancer. Because what to do? This is how human mind is. So this all can happen. So this is only diagnosis that we have to look at the cure. So it is not adequate that one knows that one has a problem, but also should have a tivra ichcha, a craving desire to get rid of that problem. For all other things we may have tivra ichcha. But to get moksha, that tivra ichcha is not automatic. For example, if Lord comes here in his pushpakam and says, I have a lot of seat for everybody here, all climb up. I will take all of you to moksha, no problem. How many will get up into that moksha, into that pushpakam? Everybody will say, give me one more hour at least. Let me write, make sure I sign the will. Because I have written all that, I have not still signed it. Let me sign it. Or my granddaughter is expecting the boy or girl tomorrow. Granddaughter, not daughter, granddaughter. Let me wait for that one day. Nobody, or they will ask for the identity card or something of that Mahavishnu who comes in the field. Can you show me your identity card? That is how human mind will work. So even if moksha is offered, we are not ready to take them. Because again what? Samsara. Because we are in samsara, it's like black hole. We are in samsara, we cannot even recognize that even if somebody gives us moksha shastra. So once, first you recognize you are in samsara, and second, you have the tivra ichcha to get out of samsara. So if these two things are there, then only we can strive to get it out. So samsara disease here is universal. It is not only for X or Y. It is universal. Everybody has that, common to all people. But only a few people discover it as a serious problem. Everybody? Guy dead yesterday, unborn tomorrow. Why fret about them if today be sweet? This is Rubaiyat, Omar Khayyam is a Persian poet. This is what he wrote. So yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not born yet. So if today is fine, why worry about them? That is the attitude for most people. So today I am fine, no problem at all. So in the first chapter, what we get is Arjuna as a representative of humankind. Arjuna as a representative. He did not know that he has all these problems of samsara. Because he was a king, he was winning all wars. He Dhananjayati, he was called Dhananjaya because he goes and gets so much of wealth all the time. So all nice these things. He has been always victorious everywhere. But here, because he never thought about Moksha Shastra at all, he was always in those kind of world. Here in the Mahabharata war, we find Arjuna discovering the problem of grief as fundamental problem. It was problem then and there. But here he is discovering that it is a fundamental problem, that is the sthayi bhavaha. This is called in Sanskrit, the sthayi bhavaha. As I told in the movie, it's a tragic movie. So tragedy is throughout, grief is throughout in the movie. But sometimes you get all these comic actions, this, that, and all jokers will be there, all that. So you enjoy those comic scenes, but underlying that entire grief of the movie that is going on. So this is there, this sthayi bhava for everybody is this samsara, this grief, this sorrow that is there everywhere. For example, whatever you take, if you know Ramayana is everything it was so nice, he has to go on in search of Sita, that is the main story. So Sita is abducted, all that thing. But in between you will have, you know, the Surpanaka will come and Surpanaka will, you know, Lakshmana will cut her nose and all that thing. Comic scenes, you know, they are all happening, all that thing. But what is underlying is Sita's abduction. So even in any of these circumstances, the sthayi bhava, what sthayi bhava is, what is the underlying the emotion throughout the entire story, that is what to be looked at. So in the case of Arjuna, only in the battlefield he realizes the problem of vishada, grief, the fundamental problem. He might have gone through problems earlier. He had gone through a lot of situations which were challenging. But because of his might, because of his strength, he could get over them. He could fight even big asuras. He could fight even big warriors he could do. All that he could do. But they were not fighting the fundamental problem of grief, which he is recognizing only now. That's what he is doing it now. So it is not an external problem, it is an internal issue. That is what he is recognizing. When we have grief generally, we attribute the cause of grief to what? To something external. Oh, it's all my neighbor is the problem. The moment that guy moved in, all these things started. Normally we blame it on somebody else. Everything is blamed on somebody else only. Here we attribute, again here also, we attribute samsara to external world. That is what we normally tend to do. Even this basic grief, samsara or sorrow, we tend to attribute to the external world. Whereas if I know the problem is inside, it is not external, then I will try to solve the problem inside. If not, I will at least keep trying to solve it, you know, from outside or whatever it is, outside problem I am not solving. I am trying to solve the internal problem. So in the first chapter, Arjuna is trying to discover that the problem is within himself. It is within himself and not with the world. So the world is not having the problem. He has the problem. It is inside. And to discover like this, what I do, what I require, I need a particular situation in life. So during some situation in life, only some such thing might come up in our mind. You may have a situation where you may be in a discussion with some X or Y, some friend. Some casual conversation might lead to some thinking in you, which might spark something, then you might realize something. You might go to a lecture, you might be in some satsanga, you may be with a friend. All these situations would help you to discover something which you might not have acknowledged up to that point. So once such a situation comes, generally what people do, they may come to, for example, Gita class, they come here. So there is a situation that might turn the direction of that particular, that situation might change the direction of life for such individuals. It could be business, it could be whatever it is one can think of. So for Arjuna, the situation happens to be the what? The Mahabharata battle itself. So that is the situation for, we don't want to have that battle as our situation. So the essence of the first chapter is Samsara Darshanam. That is the essence of first chapter is Samsara Darshanam by Arjuna, the acknowledgement of Samsara Sara. So from that, what we should understand, if we also can pursue Gita, only when we understand the Samsara problem cleared. So if we also now, if we want to get something out of Gita as a Moksha Shastra, I want to get the benefit of Moksha, then we also should approach it the way Arjuna approached it. The way we also should recognize our internal problems. Hiranyakasipu told Prahlada, why are you worshipping that Narayana? I have conquered all the three worlds. Everything is under me. When I am there like that, why are you worried about that Narayana? Then Prahlada told, yes, father, you definitely won over all the external enemies. You are the lord of all the three worlds. But you have six internal enemies you never won over. All these Kama Krodhadis, you never won over any of them. So long as you are not winning over them, you are having Ahankara, and that Lord is supreme. So that's what he said. So for these people, when they recognize samsara as a problem, then they seek the solution. So as a mumukshu alone, as the person who is the, we told in the first class, mumukshutvam, the craving desire, the tivra ichcha to get moksha. So for a mumukshu who has such a desire, only for that person, he will try to get out of the samsara by whatever it takes to get out of that through jnana yoga. That's what he will do. So only a person who is sadhana chaturtaya sampannaha, there we have to include mumukshutvam, the craving desire. Then to get a complete understanding of grief, vishada, what we should know? What is the cause of vishada should be known. The fundamental cause of grief. So when I know the cause, because the cause and the effect of grief, they both have to be studied very well. And in this chapter, the first chapter, the cause of grief and also the effect of grief, both are studied very well. That is vishadasya hetuhu, that is the cause, vishadasya hetuhu and vishadasya karyam. Karya means the effect. So the effect of grief and the cause of grief and vishadasya swarupam, the nature of grief. So all these things have to be understood. So hetu, swarupa and karyani, all these things have to be understood. Only then the understanding will become clear. So to understand now anything, what we should understand all these three, the nature, the cause and the effect. So we have to analyze this chapter based on all these considerations. And what is the hetu, the cause for grief, vishada, the cause of vishada? Krishna gives, the cause is always ragaha. Ragaha means attachment. Attachment is called raga. So ragaha eva shokasya hetuhu. Hetuhu means karanam. So shokasya, the karanam for grief is raga, attachment. Now here people should have some clear thinking about what is attachment and what is love. You are supposed to love everybody, but you are not attached to anything. Attachment leads to grief, love does not lead to grief. When I am having attachment, Then attachment means it is my kithan kin, my own, all these things, the my bhava is there. Whereas when you go love, now there is no attachment there. You are loving the person because that is the nature. The nature of your swarupa is love. This is ananda. So you are doing, so if a person is alive, you love him. The person is not alive, nature took care of it. That's it. There is nothing. But if a person is attached, then you are attached, everything is going fine. If something is not going fine, you have dukkha. So with love you don't have dukkha, with attachment you have dukkha. From attachment, detachment becomes a problem. From love, detachment is never a problem. So this is how the difference between attachment and love. So attachment towards what? Attachment is always towards an object which gives me what? Comfort. Which gives me happiness. Which gives me security. A guy who cannot walk properly, he has got a crutch or some stick. He is very attached to that stick because it takes him places. Without that, he cannot walk. If the stick is misplaced, it's gone, the grandson has put it someplace, this guy has so much of dukkha attached to that stick because it gives him security, it gives him the mobility. So, raga means ishta vishaye raga. So, whatever I like, I have attachment to. Ishta vishaye, whatever I like, I have raga. Love is not like that. Love is love everybody. Whereas attachment, ishta vishaye only, whatever you are having, the desirable object, you have attachment towards that. And if I should have raga, then what it shows? I depend on something as a source of my joy, my comfort. So if I have attachment, that means I depend on that attachment for my comfort, for my enjoyment, whatever it is. That means without such a source of joy, what I will be? I will be unhappy. So without it, I will be always unhappy. If it is there, I am happy. So that's what it means. So raga comes because I am not happy with myself. Number one. Because where attachment comes, I have to depend on something else for my happiness. I am not happy myself. If something else is there, I am happy. If somebody relationship is there, I am happy. If my son, daughter is there, I am happy. Otherwise, I am not happy. So I am not able to find out happiness myself. I have to depend on some external condition to give happiness to me, some object, some relationship, whatever it is. So I will have attachment to all of them because they give me source of joy. They are source of joy. And when the source of joy is gone, I will be unhappy. So how unhappiness comes then? First, I am not happy with myself. I am a very weak person mentally. I am not secure. I am not secure with myself. And what is the next thing? Because I am not strong, I want to lean on somebody's shoulder. Somebody's shoulder, things are possessions. So when they are gone also, it will lead to grief. So weakness, raga, the attachment, vishada, the grief, all those things, they are come together. So raga is the cause of shoka, the grief. Raga, attachment, is the cause of shoka, the grief. And what is the effect of grief? There is an extra analysis we have to make. We have to analyze, you know, the cause and the effect. What is the effect of grief? When a person is depressed in mind, what happens? His buddhi becomes blunted. Intellect doesn't work properly because he is in grief. He is in attachment, it is not working properly. So the intellect is blunted, thinking becomes clouded for that person. So he will scold everyone and everything. So some people are there, their nature is they will get angry for anything. This is always angry. You can never see his prasanna vandanam, you can never see. Always the mood, always like frowning face. Anything and everything, you will get angry. He doesn't know. He asks me why you are angry, he doesn't know I am angry. That's the problem. So, for such people, when the buddhi is blunted, analytical thinking is not there, then he will do whatever all these things he will do, he will scold people, later he will repent. So, grief always confuses the mind. And that confusion or delusion is called moha. So raga is attachment and moha is confusion or delusion. So clouding of the intellect, that is what happens when you are in this attachment. So this person's actions, they become negative actions. So what is right will be considered wrong by him. He is confused. He doesn't know what is right and what is wrong. He is confused, deluded person. So all these things put together, if you say raga, shoka and moha. Raga is attachment, shoka is grief, and moha is confusion or delusion. All these things put together is called samsara. So this is what samsara is. So samsara darshanam is recognizing all these three. When I say I recognize samsara, that means I recognize all these three in me. And in the first chapter, in the battlefield, Arjuna is going to discover all these problems, raga, shoka and moha. So from the first chapter, we should find out how Arjuna discovers all these three things if you have to go further to solve these problems. And the problem is not a simple problem also. It is a very, very intense problem. He will try to solve, you know, for example, simple problems like a cough. You know, one day you cough, maybe you say, oh, it's random. In 2-3 days you cough, maybe you put some whatever medicine. And if it becomes, if 24 hours you cough, then you want to look at so many things for that, so it becomes a problem. Now here it is an intense problem. And when the time comes to discover the intense problem, the solution is also not very a quick solution. You have to address the fundamental cause for that problem and then have to solve it. So Arjuna struggles in the very first chapter to get out of samsara, this problem. So we get 2 points in the first chapter. The discovery of samsara is number one, samsara darshanam, and the struggle to get out of it, the tivra iccha, the craving desire to get out of samsara. So these two should be there for any individual if they want to pursue jnana marga, if they want to go to moksha shastra. So this is what Arjuna is doing in the first chapter, and that is the learning we all have. So actually this is only the essence of this first chapter. But the war itself, it gives to so many situations in the thing that triggers the discovery of this problem to Arjuna. So there are so many things created in the war field. He is seeing his own kith and kin, he is seeing his teachers, all those things he is seeing. He is going to fight them. Already he is grief-stricken because he has all the problems with Duryodhanas and everybody. So now he is also, he has to fight because of that, he has to fight for dharma. He has to fight along with his teachers, all those things he has to do. All this grief he is discovering. So this situation is created for Arjuna to recognize his fundamental problem of samsara. And with this background, now let us read the first shloka of the first chapter. Ata prathamodhyayaha. Arjuna vishada yoga. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharmakshetre kurukshetre.
Dharmakshetre kurukshetre. Dharmakshetre kurukshetre.
Samavetayu yutsavaha.
Samavetayu yutsavaha. Samavetayu yutsavaha.
Dharmakshetre kurukshetre. Samavetayu yutsavaha.
Dharmakshetre kurukshetre. Samavetayu yutsavaha. Dharmakshetre kurukshetre samavetayu yutsavaha.
Mamaka pandavaschaiva.
Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Mamaka pandavaschaiva.
Kimakurvata sanjaya.
Kimakurvata sanjaya. Kimakurvata sanjaya.
Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya.
Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya. Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya.
So the context, the Dhritarashtra, the father of the Kauravas, Duryodhanas and all, he is being blind. He is not able to know or see what is happening in the battlefield. So he is anxious to know what is happening to them. And Vyasacharya, he gives a special power to Sanjaya. Actually, he offered to give it to Dhritarashtra himself. But Dhritarashtra didn't want to see the battlefield because his attachment. So he said, give it to the Sanjaya. So Sanjaya was given the power to see what is happening in the battlefield, remaining in the palace. He is sitting next to Dhritarashtra, but he can see what is happening in the battlefield, like a TV, whatever it is, he has got that. And you know, there is no real screen, we are seeing TV. But Sanjaya, the one special power that he got, in addition to being able to see, he could also feel the emotions of the people. See, in the TV you can see what is happening, but you cannot see the emotion of the people directly. Whereas here in the battlefield, whatever is happening in the battlefield, he could see them and narrate, and he could also narrate the emotions of the people. That is the special power Vyasacharya has given to Sanjaya. So Sanjaya is now narrating, and Dhritarashtra is asking the question to Sanjaya, what happened? Dhritarashtra vacha. Dhritarashtra asked the question. He said, Mamakaha Pandavaschaiva Kim Akurvata. That was his question. What did my people, Mamakaha, my people, Mamaputraha Kauravaha, my people, my children, and the Pandavas do? Where? Kurukshetra. In the Kurukshetra, in the field of Kurukshetra, What type of Kurukshetra it is? Dharma Kshetre. It is a field of Dharma. Without his knowledge, he is telling it is Dharma Kshetra because Dharma is only going to be upheld there. So already the result of the war is known now. It is Dharma Kshetra. So wherever Dharma alone will win. So Dhritarashtra, he knows, his, without his knowledge, he already told that. His Dharma is alone going to win in that place. He already made that statement, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre. So Mamakaha Pandavas Cheva, between my children and the Pandavas children. After when? After Samaveta, after coming and assembling together. So all these people have assembled together, not for any friendly chat. They have assembled together for what? Yutsavaha. Yutsavaha, with the desire to fight, they have come. Not with the desire to have a family get together, reunion. No. They have come with the desire to fight. And what happened in that place? That's what he is asking. So with the desire of engaging in battle, what did my people and Pandava's children do in the battlefield? Pandava's children, Pandavaha. So with this question itself, we can now understand the mind of Dhritarashtra. What is Dhritarashtra? We can understand. He is not able to look at Pandavas as his people. Mamakaha, my children. Pandava, who is Pandu? His own brother. So the children of Pandavas are all part, his stepsister's children. So he is not willing to consider them as his people. He is already telling my people, Kauravas, my people, Duryodhanas and all, whereas Pandavas are different people. So Pandavas, that's what he is telling. So instead of calling them also as my people, he creates already a division. So that's what happening, because he is blind. He is creating divisions. And how samsara is working on that, that's what we are seeing now. When samsara is working on them, this is what he will happen. The problem is, whenever there is division, not just a physical division of countries, you know, we got physical division of countries, borders and all, unless we put a line, where is the differentiation? Nothing. The same earth continues there, but we draw a line. So I draw a line between my property and his property, so it becomes my property. Up to that property should be all clean. Beyond that, we have put a line. So these are all line we have put. So this division, so all this town, what all? So his own brother's children, he sees them as different from his. Again what? Raga and Dvesha. Raga towards his children, Dvesha towards his own brother's children. Raga and Dvesha. And why does this happen? It is also indicated as him being as a blind king. See in the Mahabharata, he is pictured as a blind king. So he is having raga and dvesha because he is blind, blindness. Blindness, whether he is physically blind or not, we don't know. Whether there was a Dhritarashtra who was physically blind, we don't know. We are not interested in that story. We are only looking at a person. It may be true, may not be true, we don't know. But what it indicates is, he is blinded by his attachment, by his ignorance. And because of his ignorance, what comes is all these divisions. Because of ignorance is there, it gives all this division. So all the children are also born to the same blind king. Duryodhanas are all born to the same blind king. So they are called Duryodhana, Duchasana, all these Dur, Duschala, all these Dur is bad, evil. So all these children, 100 children, they are all considered to be all to be bad with blind king, ignorant king. Similarly, when there is ignorance in the intellect, whatever thoughts come will also be vast. What? Dushta vrittayaha, they will also be bad. Ignorant, the thoughts are also is going to be, so raga, dvesha, all will come. Bad means this is what we are telling, attachment, dvesha and all those things. And how many of them? Not five or six, he has children, he has 100 children. So he has got 100 vrittis, all these bad evil thoughts, hundreds of them, they are all there because his intellect is blind. This ignorant, blind person. Whereas if you think of Pandu, the other king, he represents white color. White is supposed to be Shuddha, not impurities can be seen very easily, Shuddha. So Sattva Guna is always picturized as white. Sattva Guna is always, so he is Sattvic. So he has got clear knowledge, he is not ignorant person, clear knowledge is there. So his children, the children of Jnanam, he is Jnani. His children of Jnanam, they are always supposed to be Dharmikaha. So these are all people who are always pursuing Adharmas, Duryodhanas, whereas the Pandavas are supposed to be Dharmikaha. So Pandu symbolizes a bright intellect, Sattvic Gunam, and the children and Dharma, and his children are also like Dharmaputra, they are all his children who are Dharmic, whereas Dhritarashtra represents blind intellect, and Duryodhanas and also people, they represent evil thoughts. So these are all really the thought pattern, good thoughts and bad thoughts. That is how the blind king, he asked the question, Mamakaha, Pandavas Chaivam, Kima Kurvata, O Sanjayam, what happened between my children and the children of Pandu? So narrate that to me. That was his first question. So with that, we'll stop today, and we will start with the next verse from tomorrow onwards. Next class onwards. Yo vedadav swaraprokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakritilinasya ya parasamaheshwara. Any questions? Yes.
So you interpreted rather as an attachment. There is some school of thought.